What was I supposed to remember, Gary?
Christmas cards,
thank you. If you haven't gotten your Christmas cards, or if you have, check one more time to be sure that you've gotten all of your Christmas cards before you go home. Isaiah 58 is where we'll be this morning, Isaiah 58. 2017 was a good year for me. God blessed me in some significant ways, and I hope that this year has changed me forever. It's been my prayer for several years, as you probably know, to be better. Lord, I want to be a better man. I want to be a better son of God. I want to be a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather, a better friend, a better pastor, better everything. Lord, I want to get better. The Lord has used my doctor, my wife, a visit from my mother-in-law that lasted for 2 months of all things, my kids, and many other surprising things to bring me to a better place. I used to run 6 times a week, 4 miles every time. And I had a sit down with my doctor, and I was saying, you know, I've been running for 30 years, and I've never had a significant injury. I've never missed more than a day or two of running in that whole time. Isn't that great? He said, yeah, but at your age, you're going to want to rethink that. So he helped me restructure that. I run 4 times a week now instead of say I'm lifting on the off days at his suggestion. My average weight this time last year was 186. I sometimes would go up as high as 190. When I was good and things were going well, I was 175. I fit well in my clothes and felt good about things. But over the last 6 months, I've averaged 158. I've gone from extra large down to medium shirts. And I ran in my first race, a 5K here in East Berlin. I won first place for my age group, that is. And was really blessed by that. My marriage has been sweeter as of late than it has been for a very long time. My prayer life has improved. Over the last year and a half, I just made a fresh commitment, and it's stuck. And it's just been awesome. I probably should have started with that, because I think everything else hangs on that. Barb and I are within striking distance of paying our house off. Now, I'm not telling you all this to brag or to embarrass myself, because it can certainly go either way there. I just want to be open with you. As I have called out to God, as I have wanted to get better, He has helped me with that. He's helped me to get to a better place. And I believe God has helped me as a sign to you. I'm a display. This is what God is doing. Join me in my pursuit of God and enjoy the fruit of getting closer to Him. Does that make sense to you? Because you have been a blessing to me. This time last year, I was telling myself a bunch of lies. One of them, the older I get, the more I love chocolate. The more I need chocolate is what I was saying. I used to be pretty much a vanilla guy, maybe a little bit of chocolate on top. But I got to a place where I could have chocolate ice cream with chocolate sauce on top of it, on top of my chocolate cake with chocolate icing, you know, in between there, you know. And I had allowed that lie to get down into me. And I kind of came to this place where I was settled. I was very comfortable with being chubby. And then Harry came to church one morning, Harry Saltzer. He's walking up the walk. I said, Harry, what happened to the rest of you? It was the summertime. He didn't have a jacket on. What happened to the rest of you, Harry? Oh, just little things. It's been over a month, a pound here, a pound there, but I've just been eating, doing things I know to do. A month or so after that, then Bob and Angie are out there in the foyer. I said, Bob, you've slimmed down. He said, yeah, I wasn't feeling well at all. But I felt my eating had a lot to do with that. Don't you hate when people talk like that when you're happy being chubby? But I thought if Bob can do it, I think the Lord's trying to talk to me. So you've done this to me. Now I'm doing it back to you again. And as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I want to challenge you to be better. to get better physically, spiritually, emotionally. You can. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. Get better. The road to better is paved wholly unto the Lord. Dr. Oz isn't going to get you there. He may have some good advice. You know, take what's good. Dr. Phil isn't, again, he may have some good advice that the Lord wants you to hear. That's great, but you're not going to be able to do this on your own. I was not able to stop eating. It took an act of God. It always does. And I'm very serious about that. If you need an act of God, God's acting today. And if you put God first, everything else will line up the way that it should. If you're trying to line things up in order to get God first, it's not going to work. You're not going to get there. But if you put God first, say, Lord, I want to get it right now. I want to stop with my lies, with my excuses. Call me on everyone. Show me where I'm weak. Show me where I'm at fault. He will be faithful to do that for you. And you will see that he's going to help you improve. I'm not promising you perfect health. I'm not promising you thousands of dollars. But I'm promising you better as we seek the Lord together. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Imagine they're fasting, and by the end of the day, they're actually punching each other. Hallelujah. Father, we humbly come before you and confess we are pretty weak. We're pretty fleshly people, but we don't want to remain that way. We hear your voice calling us to strength, to power of God. And Lord, we want to come now, but it won't be an easy journey. Help us to fight this battle well. Help us to fight this battle together. Help us to get to the place where we're better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the context of this chapter on fasting is very important. Before this chapter, we have chapters like Isaiah 53 that talks about the suffering Messiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. That's powerful. After this chapter comes words like in Isaiah 61. It's what Jesus preached in his first public sermon. He came in from the desert. He came into the synagogue. He sat down, recognized as a rabbi. They handed him the scroll of Isaiah. He opened it up and he read this passage to the people. He said, let me find it here. Yeah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And from there, he started healing people and delivering them, and he hasn't stopped yet. Amen? He's here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So we see the atonement. Everything was paid for back in chapter 53. We see that he's come to proclaim freedom to everybody that's captive in 61. Set down right in between them is this chapter 58 talking about fasting. It's like a chiropractic adjustment for his people. If you want to enjoy the good things that are coming because of the Messiah, you need to get some things right. Fasting was a part of Jewish culture. They did it weekly, monthly, yearly they had fasts. They not only had celebration and feasts, they would also come together for fasting. Typically, a Jew would fast twice a week, from 6 o'clock Monday evening until 6 o'clock Tuesday evening, from 6 o'clock Thursday evening until 6 o'clock Friday evening. That was fasting as normal in their lifestyle. Not all of them did it, of course, but those who considered themselves pious, religious, faithful to God would fast this way. That's a lot of fasting. That's a lot more fasting than I've done. How about you? And God comes through Isaiah the prophet and he says to them, you cannot fast as you have and expect to be part of the move of God. Now, if he has a word of correction for people who are fasting regularly, what would his word be to us who fast so sparingly? In our Sunday school class, the last time we talked about fasting, you know, we did the week of fasting and prayer in October. And we talked about it a little bit in our Sunday school class. And I remember at least one of the members said, I've never even considered fasting. He had grown up in church, had heard the term, had read it in the Bible, but it never came home. Why in the world would I want to fast? What does that mean to me? Why in the world would I give up a meal, let alone several meals in a row? The Jews, they were so used to fasting, it lost its meaning. For us, we have become so self-centered and self-absorbed. We don't do anything that's not comfortable to us. Our faith, our religion, has been led by comfort over the last several decades. We've developed this seeker-sensitive mentality in church. We want to make everybody feel comfortable and loved and welcomed. And so they want to become a part of this, you see. And now part of that is valid. We don't want to have tunnel vision and not pay attention to people's needs and so on and so forth. But can you see how that can become an idol in itself? We come about drawing people rather than pleasing the Lord. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Our job when we come together is lift him up. And then he will take care of drawing the body together. They were fasting. They were good at it. They did it often. But God said, you cannot do it the way you're doing it and expect God to answer your prayers or to show up in the middle of it. They were missing meals, but not improving their character. They were missing meals, but they were not improving their character. God wants to get you better. God wants to get you better. In fact, they were missing meals as a form of indulgence. Remember indulgences from the Middle Ages? I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember the Middle Ages, but there were indulgences. You could go to the church and you could purchase an indulgence. If you gave enough money, you were free to go sin for a while. You kind of paid it ahead. And finally, Martin Luther nailed those. He said, that's ridiculous. And everybody said, yeah, I guess it kind of is. So they stopped doing that. Well, we do that spiritually sometimes. And when the Jews were fasting, they gave themselves a little pat on the back. They mistreated their workers. They cheated other people. They did some despicable things, but they walked away feeling like, hey, I'm still a great believer. God's very proud of me because I'm fasting twice a week and I'm wearing the right clothes and I'm doing all this stuff. And God said, no, stop it. Don't even bother, please. By the time Jesus came along, they had it down to a science. When they fasted, they didn't put any cologne on their body and they didn't bathe every day like we do. So cologne was very important. They didn't put any cologne on, and they contorted their faces. They just wanted everybody to know, I'm fasting today. So when they fasted, they stunk and they were very irritable. Oh, aren't I a faithful person? I am so faithful to God, I'm extremely irritable today. And they were just twisting it all, and God says, stop it. You can't act like this and think you're drawing closer to God. They were not restraining their flesh. They were giving it a new venue. They made fasting a display of the flesh. Oh, feel bad for me. I haven't had anything to eat. Well, of course I'm irritable today. I haven't had anything to eat. How would you feel if you haven't eaten? And so they gave themselves an excuse to be even more grouchy than they normally were. And God is saying, you are missing the point entirely. They weren't taming the flesh. They were giving it another venue. So the Holy Spirit tells Isaiah, shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. Now that would be a popular sermon series, right? Oh, the next 6 weeks I'm going to point out all your sins to you. Oh yeah, I can't wait. That sounds encouraging. But you and I need to welcome the correction of the Holy Spirit. Don't get hellfire and brimstone and all uppity and this and that. But we have to welcome the voice of the Holy Spirit. God, come and correct me. God, come and speak to me. I want to hear your encouraging words, but I also want to hear your words of correction too. We need to welcome the correction of the Holy Spirit if we're going to improve and be ready for God's next great move. There's nothing so deadly to the embers of revival as a satisfied believer and a contented church. Pastored here for 31 years now. A few of you will remember we were down in East Berlin where the library is today. That's where our church got started. And from those days on, I've heard a phrase come up from time to time from some of us. We just want to be a little country church. We're losing our identity as a little country church. We lost a family when we built the building here and came up on this hill. I remember they walked out the door and they said, we miss our little country church. We miss that little atmosphere. And I have to think, why are we here? Are we here to be comfortable with one another, gather some people together that we like, and maybe put we're full, no vacancy sign outside? Is that what God has us here for? Is that why he raised a church up on this hill? So we could be comfortable together and we could have a nice time? Or did God place a fort in East Berlin? Did he commission a garrison to be stationed in this area? Did God look and say, I want to do something right here? And I want to call together a troop, what would they call it? A regiment of believers. I've been musing on the armament that God gives us this week. Who does God give armament to? Who do they issue armament to?
Soldiers.
We wouldn't have to put on the whole armor of God if he didn't expect us to be soldiers. If we want to stay wimps, infants in Christ, just, I didn't like that term. And you don't need armament. But he gives armor to those. And not just armor, but a sword. He says, now go out there and get them. And that's what he's called you and I together to be, a regiment in God, a troop of the Lord, to do a work under God. God wants a church he can unleash on the world, flood it with acts of kindness and love. Do the work of God, not self-absorbed, pampered, but victorious in Jesus Christ. Isaiah instructs his generation to loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, share their food, and provide the poor with shelter. Go do something, he said. Don't just get together and moan about, oh, the good old days or how it should be. And this lunkhead in Washington is doing this and that lunkhead in Hollywood is doing that. Rise up, get your armor on. Go out there and change the world in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Verse 8 says, your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. When we stop being so self-centered and we go out after God and do the work of the Lord, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. We get, well, if I only had this, if I could only do it, if I was only better. Take what you have and give it to God. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. Have you ever prayed and felt like the heavens were brass? Like no one was listening? You couldn't hear a response? He's telling us what to do about that. Verse 9 says, if you will do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. Catch this. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwelling. Isn't that a great nickname? Repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father, Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you will turn away from the malicious talk, from the idle talk, from the noise of the world, and apply the scripture of God to this land and to your life, then you'll find joy. Then you'll find abundance. The mouth of the Lord is, what does that mean? He seals it. He says, this is my promise to you. You do this and I'll do that. Kind of reminds me of that Second Chronicles passage. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I will heal their land. If then, fasting is about adjusting ourselves to godly standards. Over these next 40 days, I want to become a more godly man. I want to think more godly thoughts. I want to say more godly words. I want to dream more godly dreams. I want to be all that God intends for me to be. Fasting is about adjusting ourselves to godly standards. You can starve your flesh and end up none the better, or you can starve the flesh and use it as a school of discipline and graduate a better person. You can come out of this thing better, or you can grumble yourself through the whole thing. You can make the people around you miserable. They, at the end of it, they can be saying, I hope you never fast again. And if you do, do it somewhere else. You know, this can be miserable, or this can change you for the good and forever. As we fast, we're looking for a better person, a better church, and a better nation. This is what we're fasting for. God, work in me. I want to be a better man. God, work in our church. I appreciate where we've come from. I appreciate where we're at. But, oh, God, we meet together, and there's a whole world dying out around us. Lord, we want to reach them, too. Help us to get this done. You sent us here to succeed. You sent us here to do a job. I want to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every household, every person witnessed to, everyone drawn closer to the Lord. Now, there are different forms of fasting. Not everybody can fast food. Not everybody should. Some of you, because of medical conditions, you better not fast food. You better not give up food. Some of you take medications that require you to take food along with your medications. Be obedient to that. Don't back off from there. There are other ways of fasting. But if you can fast food, you can do it for 24-hour periods. Please don't anybody fast for 40 days. If you fast for 40 days, I will not do your funeral. You hear me? I didn't tell you to do that. Don't fast for it. But you can fast for 24 hours at a time. You can do that for 3 to 5 days at a time. I'm going to begin my fast with a 3-day fast as I normally do. But, you know, take it before the Lord. Challenge yourself. See what God won't do in your life. You can also fast for 16 hours a day. This became very popular for our week of fasting and prayer. That means you pick an 8-hour window during the day you're going to eat. Say from noon until 8. Doesn't mean you're going to eat for 8 hours straight. But during those 8 hours, you're allowing yourself to have several meals, to eat reasonable. Again, our thing isn't to allow the flesh to have its way, but to bring the flesh under control. And so you might choose from noon until 8 or from 1 until 9 and then fast for those 16 hours. How many would say that sounds easy? Okay, well, yeah, to me it sounds easy. Go ahead and try it. One of the things I've learned as I've cut back on food is I have some snacks around the house, but my snacks now are fruit rather than desserts. I keep apples, a lot of apples on hand. Peaches during the summer, bananas are always. And when I get hungry and I need a snack, I go in and I have a piece of fruit. Last year at this time, I would not have considered that a snack. I would have considered that, oh, I don't know, torture. But, you know, we can change our appetites in these things. You'll be amazed at how ignorant, how strong your flesh rises up as soon as you try to get a handle on it. And so food is a great place to start. You may just want to cut out sweets or snacks. Go ahead, eat 3 meals a day. But do something about the uncontrolled or the too much eating that you're doing. I put surveys out after the last week that we fasted and prayed. Some people handed them back. In fact, we got over 20 respondents, which I really appreciated. And one of the suggestions was connecting us with other people with similar fasts so we can, you know, be part of a community as we do that. That's why we have that thing on the wall in the back. We thought, that's a good idea. You want to know who's fasting along with you in this area? They're, if you want to text me sometime, you're fasting food and you'd like somebody to pray for you or you'd like a word of encouragement. I learned a lot of stuff. I learn a lot of stuff every time I fast. This last time, I started on a Monday, I believe it was after lunch, and I figured out 72 hours, that was going to be my 3 days worth of fasting. And I went to bed that night, and I got up the next morning. I was already down in the 50s. I had fasted for over 12 hours already, and most of it I was sleeping. You wake up feeling like a champion, you know? Hey, I'm not even in the South. I'm in the 50s now. I only got 59 hours to go, and I'm out of this thing. And you know, every once in a while, you kind of check that, and, oh, another 10 hours is gone. It was kind of melting. It was just a mental thing that, and I'm pretty mental. It helped me to get through that time. But one of the respondents put on their form from the last time, what did you learn? I think way too much about those things I love to eat. Isn't that a great comment? That's true. We think continually about food. I have a friend of mine that went to the doctor recently, and the doctor told him, "You are literally eating yourself to death." He's developed diabetes. He's on, they've not only upped the one medication, they've added another medication. And he keeps putting on weight. And the doctor said, "You are literally eating yourself to death." And my friend has a lot of excuses. "I don't like that kind of food. I get to feeling like this." But one of the things, allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you. You don't have to fill your plate up a second time. You don't need more. It's amazing how little food it takes to live on. I don't know if you've ever read any books like Unbroken, the gentleman that was in a Japanese concentration camp during the war. A little ball of rice for a whole day, and then expected to lift steel all day on a ship and so on. And it is amazing. We have lied to ourselves. We believe lies. Barb and I, when we go out to eat normally, we split a meal. We were in Red Lobster the other night, and it happens to me every time. I walk past this table, and sitting in front of one gentleman was a platter about this big. And it had fried fish and fried shrimp and a whole batch of fries and then the hush puppies on the side. And then that stuff that just squiggly fried stuff left over, they just threw that on the plate too. And I went, oh. And just out of the humor of God, we ordered our meal and they brought us the wrong one at first. And it was exactly what I just described on that plate. They set it down. And I'm thinking, do you want to say anything or not? Joel, maybe this is of God. Maybe God sent this to our table. Peach, maybe this is of the Lord. Maybe we should obey the Holy Spirit. Let's pray right now. Now we sent it. Here it was the people behind us that had ordered that. But we get to thinking we need, you know, when I'm not in my program, I need dessert. I can't have a meal without dessert. And then after a while, I need two desserts. I need a dessert for my dessert. And you know how it goes. And get yourself under control. Gaming. Did you hear in the news this week? They have a new term. They believe that there is a psychological illness that people suffer from when they game too long. If you're gaming for hours a day, they now have a term for what you're into. I guess they've come up with some medication for you and some counseling and so on to help you with your gaming. It becomes a real problem for some people. But maybe you're not that bad. But maybe there are things that you use as entertainments where you say, you know what? It's taking up a little bit more of my time than it should. I could be using that in a better venue. So maybe gaming is what you'll want to fast during this time. Social media. Maybe you want to let your friends know, I'm going dark for a while. You won't see me on Facebook. You won't hear, you know, send me a text or, you know, we can chat on the phone from time to time, but I'm going dark. How many of our people, they get on the online at night and they get on their feeds, their Facebook and everything else, and they're getting all this information. And oh wow, I didn't know. And then they lay down and they try to go to sleep. And Trump this and the Congress that and North Korea. I wonder why they can't find the peace of God. Shopping. How'd that get on there? Maybe for some people, yeah, you kind of need to make a pact. You know what? Next 40 days, no more clothes. We'll buy the food, the necessities, yes. I don't need another pair of shoes. And maybe since it's fasting, do that Isaiah thing and clean your closet out. Not as an excuse to go for more shopping, but to bless somebody else with some of the things that you've purchased and bless them with it. Now, maybe your fast will be a combination of several of these things. Maybe all of them will be on your list. I don't know. Maybe it'll be specific to you. I was talking to Ward Schultz, and he said, my fast is going to be... he's struggling with Parkinson's, you might know. So there are some issues as far as medicines and so on is concerned. He said, my fast is going to be, whenever I speak ill about anybody, I will then spend an hour in prayer for that person. Isn't that awesome? I thought, boy, I'm glad I'm fasting food. That'll be a whole lot easier, you know. But whatever God would speak into your, and I'm thinking, I'm hoping that Ward speaks evil about me at least a couple of times, then I get a lot of prayer on my behalf. But Isaiah is clear that fasting is a time to get active in helping others. When you're fasting, who are you thinking about usually? Yeah, me. I'm hungry. I have a headache. I'm getting weak. I this, I that. How many hours is it yet? Okay, can I endure? And Isaiah is saying, get out of yourself. Go help somebody else when that happens. Bless them in the name of the Lord. And that will be the kind of fast that God loves. Rather than being irritable, be sweet to somebody. Go against that. You know, that's the grind. You're going against that fast. That flesh wants to, Don't let it. Don't let it. We have a plan to have the doors open to the church every day for prayer, starting on Wednesday and for the next 40 days. That includes Saturday as well. I didn't know that we were going to do Saturdays, but we've got some people who are really motivated about Saturdays, so God bless them. From 8 to 10 in the morning, and then from 7 to 9 in the evening. Now, 7 to 9 might be adjusted 6 to 8, 6 to 9, depending on the people who have it there. You don't have to show up on time. You don't have to stay the whole time. But I believe that if you will come and join a couple times during the week, whenever's convenient to you, I believe it will strengthen you. I believe you will bless what we are doing together. I learned to pray listening to other people pray. That's been my best prayer teacher in my life. And as we come together and we pray together, let one lead out in prayer, and then somebody else will lead out in prayer, and somebody else will lead out in prayer. And we'll strengthen each other and we'll call out on the name of the Lord. This place will be a place of prayer over these next 40 days. When we come together for evening services, I'm not sure what's going to happen. We may just have prayer meetings when we get together. There may be teaching as well as a combination of prayer. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just trusting the Lord. And the Lord is telling me that what happens is conditional on us. If then, if we just assume God's going to be so pleased with us, nothing's going to happen. But if we press in and we lay it all on the altar. One of the scriptures God gave me this week was the rich young ruler who came. He came to Jesus. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, obey the commands. He said, I got that down. He said, well, one thing you lack, go sell everything, give it to the poor, and come back and follow me. The young man went away sad because he had great wealth and he was not willing to give it over. We are facing a time like that right now. When we come into this 40 days, we're saying to God, I'm bringing everything with me, God. You can have anything about me that you want. What else do we lack to a breakthrough in our own spiritual life, in our church, in our nation, and in our world? What do we lack? And whatever he puts his finger on, and let me tell you something, God takes these things serious. He'll find the apple of your eye and he'll say, I want this. And then you'll have a choice to make. I'll have a choice to make. Okay, God, it's yours. He may take it away. He may give it back to you. But it's up to him. It's up to him. Come, lay it all on the altar before the Lord. Sign your family up for a visit to a nursing home. Or help at a soup kitchen, you know, on a family day when you'd rather, you know, maybe you should go to Hershey and visit Chocolate World or something. Say, you know what, today we're going to take a different route and we're going to go to minister to somebody that needs some help. Maybe adopt a family somewhere in your neighborhood or elsewhere. Here's a couple more quotes from our surveys that we sent out. Someone responded, it helps me to remember to pray each time I get hungry. There's a lot of praying, right? You know, every time you churn, which if you're going to be fasting food, here's something that helped me over the last year. Whenever I get a hunger pang, I think of my stomach chewing on fat cells. You know, I think that's what it feels like. Normally, when I got hungry, I thought I was dying. Oh, I'm dying. I need something to eat, even if I just ate. Oh, I got a hunger pang. This is an emergency. 911, 911, I've got a hunger pang. Oh, the pain. I turned that around to saying, oh, good, it's working. I haven't eaten for, and it started, finally started eating some of that fat away. So how we think, you know, that kind of a, I think somebody else wrote down, I do have say over my body. I do. I can do this. It is, one of the lies we tell ourselves, I couldn't do that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Somebody else wrote, fasting is good practice overcoming fleshly desires. Amen. If you can control your appetite, you can control your appetites. I used to wrestle in high school, and most of us on the team didn't have girlfriends during the season. If we did, we usually lost them sometime during the season because all we thought about was the lack of food. I remember one night I woke up in a cold sweat. I had been dreaming about a chocolate milkshake. Most young men don't dream about chocolate milkshakes, right? Young ladies would be on their mind. But I found out that your base desire is food. Everything else is secondary. If you can control your appetite, you can control your appetites. Oh, how many lies I told myself when I was overeating. Oh, it's been a stressful day. This will help. Gulp, 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 gulp. Oh, it's been a wonderful day. I think I'll celebrate. Gulp, 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 gulp. You know, there's always a lie waiting to push us over the edge. But fasting is good practice overcoming fleshly desires. Young people, our teenagers, we ought to encourage them to learn to fast on a regular basis. That, you know, we are such an instant gratification society. Fasting slows that down to the most basic. No, you don't have to have everything right away. You really don't. And takes us to a better place. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And if you don't have any, go get some. It's available. God will help you. Go get some self-control. It's okay to be weak as long as you're working on it. As long as you're asking God for help. And following after him. I'm just going to throw this out here. I don't know if this is of God or this is just my thinking. You be the judge. I would love for us as a congregation to lose 1,000 pounds. Not me particularly. I think I'm pretty much where I need to be. But if I could throw the 30 pounds I did lose onto the scale for that. But as a congregation, if we could lose 1,000 pounds over these 40 days, wouldn't that be awesome? And maybe you don't think so, but maybe there'll be something to report on later. Maybe we can add it up. But doing it together and doing it for the right reasons. I want my flesh under control, that God can be preeminent in my life. We don't preach about weight usually. There's a good reason for that. Preachers are usually looking for a new church after they've talked about things like that. I'll let you know. I am stronger now than I was 6 months ago. I know that about myself personally. I was telling John Quinn the other day, the thing I like about physical exercise is you can measure it. I can tell you how fast I can run a mile, how slow I run a mile. I can tell you how far I can run at a time. I can tell you how much weight I can lift now that I couldn't lift 6 months ago. It's measurable. It shows up. Spiritual progress is much harder to chart. And one thing God spoke into my heart these last couple weeks is, Joel, I'm going to make it show up for you. You're going to be able to see the difference in your life, in your church, in your world. As you press in and as you press close, I'm going to show you. It's going to show up. And wouldn't you love to be able to say, 6 months from now, 6 months are going to go like that. Can you believe it's the last day of the year already? Flew by, didn't it? 6 months from now, you'll either be in the same shape you are right now, physically, spiritually, mentally, or you'll be worse, or you can be better. Which do you choose? Which, if you'll just apply godly principles to your life, let it sink in. God also showed me that not everybody's on board right yet. Not everybody's excited about 40 days of fasting. Some people are sitting back and saying, well, what a buffoon. He thinks that you know. But God showed me that if we'll be serious about those who are, others will join us. Some will have 40 days of fasting and prayer. Some will have 30 days. Some will have 20 days. Some will have 20 minutes. At the very end, they'll catch a little bit of fire on it and say, you know what? That's where I need to be. But remember what we said at the beginning. 1 week that will teach us about 40 days that will teach us about the rest of our life. I want to change things in my life that will stay. I don't want to be fluctuating back and forth. I want to get on a path that goes higher and higher in the Lord, from victory unto victory, as Paul wrote. I hope you're of the same mind as well. 6 months from now, you can be sitting in this chair. And I hope somebody reminds me, because I'll never remember. You know, 6 months from now, in June, somebody shout out, hey, it's 6 months. I'll say, so? And you'll say, well, you said, you know, on the 31st of December, 6 months from now, you're either better off or you're worse off. What do you choose? Where will you be in your life? Fasting isn't about enduring pain for a period of time. It's about disciplining, training, taming your flesh. Your belly, your lust will no longer be your master. You need to go home and say to your flesh, no, no more. You will no longer master me. I talk a lot about my little dog. I love my little dog, little Yorkie. She's about 14 pounds now. She's supposed to be about 8 pounds. She's about 14 pounds now. I have this sore on the side of my leg. Whenever I'm standing somewhere, she will come and give all 14 pounds with those two front paws right on that one spot. And she wants something. She either wants something to eat or she wants me to take her for a walk. And I've actually developed, I'm allowing a 14-pound Yorkie to push me around. She has me fully trained. Dad, it's time to take a walk. Dad, you're supposed to feed me now. Dad, I want some of this. Dad, I want some of that. She's got me fully trained. I'm allowing a 14-pound dog push me around. Your flesh is not your master. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is God in you than that flesh in you. And it's time for you to stand up and put your flesh in its place where it belongs. If you do that, it will become a blessing to you. But if you don't do that, it will destroy you. Put your flesh in its place. I'll try the dog. I don't know if that's going to work. But my flesh, that I know I can master. Bring your finances, your appetites, your desires under control. Then direct them to God. Read more. Read better. God will change your appetites. The things that you don't think you can do without on the television, you really can. Last year, I'm sorry for talking so much about myself, but God has really been working on me. Last year, we looked at the cable bill, and we decided to cut out a lot of the cable because it just kept going up. And along with it went all my sports channels. And then at Christmas time, Barb said, Joel, for your Christmas present, we're going to get back the channels, the sports channels that you had. And I was able to look at her, because I wanted that. I wanted that. And I was able to look at her and say, no, you know what? For what they're charging, it's just not right. And my mind was thinking about all the evenings I would spend watching a Pirate or a Penguin game. And just, it suddenly seemed like, and there's nothing wrong. That's good entertainment as far as I'm concerned. But do I need that much television? Do I need to be tuned out of my wife, my family, my life during that time? Do I need to go to bed happy or sad according to what my team just did? You know? And I said, Peach, I really appreciate that, but No, let's not do that. I couldn't believe I was saying that. Part of me was kicking myself while I was doing it. But God is changing me. And I know God is changing you. Do you feel it? God is bringing us to a place. And if we will walk through these doors, blessings will pour. Attend church more. Again, this is not a duty, it's an invitation. God is inviting us to participate in a program that will do us a tremendous amount of good. But you don't have to if you don't want to. God doesn't want anybody contorting their face, getting irritable. No. Just don't bother if that's the way it is. But you don't want to miss a service because you don't want to miss a service. You will miss something when you miss a service during this time. God is going to be showing up in wonderful ways. Get some exercise. Doesn't have to be every day. Maybe your doctor would say to you, you're of the age where you can't do that every day anymore. But do something that gets you some exercise. Get up off the easy chair. Get around the house a little more. Get outside a little bit and stick to it. When you eat those things you know are good for your body. Cut back on the sweets. No alcohol. No excessive eating. Less sugar, cream, caramel, or whatever else you put in your coffee. Be extra vigilant over your eyes and your heart. Be careful of the entertainments that you allow. Some of our goals are bring your flesh under subjection to the Holy Spirit. Become closer to God and more attentive to His voice. Get more serious about our mission here. A better person, a better church, a better nation. Seneca wrote, "It's not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste a lot of it." We waste a lot of our lives. Let's make them count. Help us to redeem the time, O Lord. Teach me to number my days aright, that I might gain a heart of wisdom. Seneca also wrote, "Learning how to live takes a whole life. Don't beat yourself up that it took you a long time to get here. Be glad you're here now. Don't beat yourself up that you were out of control until now. Thank God He brought you here now. He's going to meet you here. It always takes an act of God to get me back on my program. When I've allowed my flesh to take over, when I've allowed those lies into my life, when I become chubby again, it takes an act of, I try, but I can't do it. And it always takes a season of prayer for me until God, something snaps, a switch turns, and all of a sudden I can live like I couldn't live yesterday. It is an act of God. And if you're coming and you say, preacher, I've tried, I've done, I hear you. I'm saying we are at a moment, we are on a precipice that we can get over together. And God will free you and God will free me and He will teach us to live like we always wanted to live. He'll slay some of those dragons that have been dogging your trail for a long time. Don't try to do this in your own strength. Let God speak to you. Hear Him when He says what He wants to lead you into and receive that, acknowledge that, believe it. If you're under conviction in any area, don't get mad at me. Go to war. Man up, woman up. Put on the armor. You can do this. If Harry and Bob and Angie can do it, I can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And whatever area that is, because God is our God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now is the time. That's the theme of this season. Now is. There will not be 6 months from now. This may sound crazy to you, and if I'm speaking out of turn, may God correct me. But I believe if we do not get serious during this season, well, let me put it this way. If we get serious during this season, I believe we will avert a disaster for our nation. And I have no idea what that might be. And I pray that If that happens, God will show us what was averted. But I believe if we just, and I'm sorry that this has taken place during the holidays. You know, I can imagine a lot of people, why does he start this during the holidays? I don't think I started this. That's my excuse. I think this is of God. And I think the holidays is a wonderful time for us to take note of our overeating and our overindulgence of many things. But anyway, I believe that if you and I don't get serious, if you and I do get serious, we're going to avert a danger and we're going to see the power of God so wonderfully displayed among us. It's going to be awesome. But if we don't, this is a time of turning in America. It's very important how we respond to God. And it's not just our church. There are other churches. I understand that CLA started, a Christian Life Assembly in Camp Hill, one of our bigger churches. They started having Sunday evening prayer meetings once a month not long ago. And now they've changed it. They're going to have it every Sunday evening now. They're going to go to prayer meetings. A long time ago, they did away with Sunday evening services. But now they're turning back and making it a season of prayer, getting their people together to pray. So I believe that this is coming up in many, many churches. Maybe it's a call to every church, and maybe only a few will respond. But you and I have to respond. Become better, nicer to others, more in control of your appetites, more useful to the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me this morning?